This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
St. Louis is home for conservative talk.
You're listening to the Mark Reardon Show.
Well, Billy Joe and Sting, Friday night, Busch Stadium. We're going to keep our fingers crossed on the weather. Dave Murray will join us tomorrow with a preview, and he's coming in town from the Evolution Festival, so we'll have Dave in studio on Friday. And I mentioned tomorrow afternoon, 4:25, Mike Del Judas, who is in Billy Joel's band. He's got an amazing story. He was asked to join the band a decade ago after having his own Billy Joel tribute cover act called Big Shot.
He sounds like him.
Oh, yeah. It's great. Billy says, I was in a, you know, listening to a rehearsal. He thought it was a recording of his own voice. And, yeah. You know, they said, no, Billy, that's guy Mike Del Judas. And then he invited him to join the band. It really is a crazy story, and he's a great guy. And you'll see him at the show. Billy gives him a little solo spot where he covers a song or he sings some opera. So Mike has a very prominent role in all of the shows. You know, they were doing that Madison Square Garden thing that just came to an end, I think. But every month for years, Billy played MSG, which
so
I think
cool.
is amazing. All right, let's see what Joe Biden had to say at the UN today. This is what he said.
Since October 7, we've also been determined to prevent a wider war that engulfs the entire region. Hezbollah, unprovoked, joined the October 7 attack, launching rockets into Israel. Almost a year later, too many on each side of the Israeli-Lebanon border remain displaced. Full-scale war is not in anyone's interest. Even if the situation has escalated, a diplomatic solution is still possible.
Well, I think we only get half of that because he's hard to understand these days. But former Missouri Senator Jim Talent is back with us this afternoon to talk about that and a number of other issues. How are you this afternoon, Jim?
I'm doing well, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
Well, let's start with what's going on with Hezbollah and that situation right now with Israel, because, you know, you and I have talked about and you've talked about the possibility of Hezbollah getting more involved. Now that seemingly has happened. It's hard kind of to keep track on where all this is in Israel just because of the busy news cycle. And here we are coming up with the 1 year anniversary of the horrible massacre that occurred last year and how this all started. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and this increasing level of conflict with Hezbollah was inevitable. Let me just go over the context, okay? So after October 7th, Hezbollah began shooting rockets consistently at Israel. It was part of an effort to prevent Israel from achieving its war aims in Hamas by forcing them to stop short of in Gaza, by forcing them to stop short of destroying Hamas. It was combined with an international pressure campaign in which the United States fitfully participated. So that didn't work because Israel has largely accomplished its goals in Gaza and is now turning north, which it has to do because there are about 60 to 100,000 Israelis displaced by this. They're being attacked by their neighbor. So Israel is taking out Hezbollah's command and control. That was the whole incident with the pagers and the walkie-talkies. They're taking out their top-level commanders. They've gotten the head. They just most recently got the head of the rocket force. And now they're taking out as many of their rockets and their launchers as they can get through the air and they're very substantially degrading them. We don't know exactly how many, but the reports that I've seen are that the Israelis are very pleased. They may have destroyed about half of Hezbollah's capabilities. Hezbollah is responding, trying to attack Israeli cities. And yesterday they launched a missile at Tel Aviv, which is like Israel's New York. And it was intercepted by Iron Dome. But we can expect the conflict to continue, and I expect that Israel will eventually go in on the ground.
So that scenario has been discussed, obviously, previously. And you know what's interesting to me, and obviously I'm not an expert, you are, but I think, Sue, you might even agree, this whole discussion about the 60,000 Israelis that were displaced in the north, that really has not been discussed very much. So all of a sudden, that's being talked about and is a legitimate part of all of this discussion. But you know, it's complicated because I feel like I'm still asking some of the same questions, like, what's the end game? Is there going to be a ground war? It seems like a lot of this is still somewhat undetermined. At least the timing of it certainly is.
Yeah, that's a fair point, the actual end game. I mean, the minimum Israel's going to have to do is push Hezbollah back beyond the Litani River, which is about 15 to 20 kilometers north of the Israeli border, because as long as they're there, even if Israel were to take out all of Hezbollah's capability, they simply be resupplied by Iran and then would begin attacking again. So I think Israel's going to have to do that as a minimum. They're going to have to create a buffer zone, which will put Israel outside of short-range and medium-range rockets, the rockets that Hezbollah has. Now, the issue is, will Israel go after Iran specifically, because Iran is the head of the snake, or the head of the octopus, if you will. They're the ones who've established these proxies. The proxies serve Iran's broader regional goals, which go far beyond Israel. And these proxies, especially Hezbollah, they're basically a puppet. They don't make a move without Iran. And then the other issue is what role the United States will play.
Well, and that's a very good question to get to right now, because what is specifically the administration's position on all this currently? It's a little hard to figure it out, isn't it?
Well, if you ask Kamala Harris, she'll just keep repeating that we're going to get a deal. We're going to get a deal. But the problem is that you have two parties with irreconcilably conflicting goals. The one party wants to destroy Israel, and Israel would like to survive. It's pretty hard to get a deal there. Now, what we should have been doing is, at minimum, strongly and consistently supporting Israel's narrative and giving them such help with supplies, you know, military supplies as we could, although they don't need that as much. The issue for us is also what to do about Iran. We should have been constraining Iran for the last 4 years, weakening them, enforcing Trump's maximum pressure campaign against them was the way to go. And you notice they have committed a casus belli against the United States. Their proxies kidnapped five Americans, killed one of them, and they've been attacking American forces in the region. So, you know, I'll give you an idea of what Reagan would have done. What he did do in the late 80s, when this kind of thing happened, he sank about a quarter of the Iranian Navy, and then the attack stopped. So, but at minimum, we should have been strongly supporting the Israelis, and we should be doing that now.
But are you suggest? Look, I want to get to this this question of whether or not we should have military involvement more directly. But here's what President Trump said. I thought this would get your attention.
But if I were the president, I would inform the threatening country, in this case Iran, that if you do anything to harm this person, we are going to blow your largest cities and the country itself to smithereens.
Back in the day, we used to call that a little saber rattling, right? But that is a former president rattling pretty hard on that saber, isn't he?
Yes. Yeah, and that's it's typical Trump hyperbole, but hyperbole in support of the right point. Look, if we were to decide, he may be referring to the assassination threats, which is another casus belli, and they're very real.
Yeah.
Very real. I mean, the FBI is very worried about it. What would happen if we had a president who wanted to take strong action to deter Iran, which is really what punishing them would do under these circumstances, you have a number of options. So one of them would be to go after their assets at sea. Another would be to go after, for example, the port through which they ship their oil, and they're shipping a lot more oil because we're not enforcing the sanctions. So you can have a range of different options, up to and including attacking their nuclear infrastructure. If they thought you were going to do that, I think these attacks would stop. right away. So Trump's basic point is absolutely correct. I mean, this is not on the highest strategic level. This is not that difficult. Iran is activating its proxies in support of Iranian national objectives. They're the puppet master. There's a big debate in Israel right now about whether Israeli forces should go after Iran on their own. To this point, the government is just taking on the proxies one after another, which is the minimum it has to do for the country to survive. I mean, these really are existential attacks, Mark. I mean, the attack that occurred on October 7th killed 1,200 people. Israel only has 10 million people.
Right.
So if it was an attack on the United States, you'd multiply that by 35. It'd be 35,000 people dead. What do you think we'd do?
Yeah, well, there'd be a strong response. There's no doubt about that. Former Senator Jim Taub is here, absolute expert on foreign policy. So one of the first things I heard this morning is that China test-fired an ICBM into the Pacific Ocean. They hadn't really done something long-range like that, I understand, since 1980. Is that true? So what do you make of all this, speaking of saber rattling?
I didn't reassure it wasn't North Korea. Anyway,
they say China.
Okay. It's possible. I mean, they're vastly increasing their nuclear arsenal, well above what anybody's predicted. They've consistently been ahead in terms of numbers and timetable of anything the CIA thought they could do. There's a lot of speculation about why they're doing it. I don't think they're trying to acquire first strike capability. I don't think that fits in with their plans. What they're doing is using their regionally dominant conventional power to achieve their objective, which is to control, in the first step, to control East Asia and the East and South China Sea. But I think what this is part of is they only had a small nuclear arsenal, and it was because they'd always said under Mao and the succeeding leaders that they just wanted retaliatory capacity. I think Xi Jinping feels like, well, you know what? We got a world-class military. We're going to have a world-class nuclear arsenal. The danger of it is, there's a lot of dangers to it, but one of them is they are co-locating their nuclear missiles with their conventional missiles on the Chinese mainland. So if there were to be a war over Taiwan and an adversary were to try and take out the missile sites from which they were attacking our ships, we would have to attack the same locations where they have their nuclear weapons. And that's the kind of thing that can lead to a mistake.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That sounds complicated.
It's not number one on my list of concerns, but it does show that they're engaged in the biggest military buildup since before World War II at minimum.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Well, let me take you back quickly here, though, before I let you go to Iran, because apparently I haven't seen this video, but I guess there was a video that Iran made in 2022 that depicts an assassination attempt against Donald Trump while he plays a round of golf. And that started making the rounds again today because, as you alluded to, you have, you know, more information that Tehran is behind plots to possibly take his life. So this is another interesting aspect of this, because when it comes to reaction or retaliation for something like this, what do you do? How do you diplomatically handle something like that?
Well, you don't do it diplomatically. I mean,
yeah.
You know, when Saddam Hussein was threatening former President H.W. Bush, Clinton took retaliatory action. I believe it was a missile strike. What you do is, in the lexicon, it's called imposing costs and consequences. In other words, you hurt them in ways that lead them to believe, you know, it really would have been better if we hadn't made those threats. And as I said before, there's a range of options that we could use militarily if we wanted to do that. The minimum we should be doing is maximum pressure on them economically, freezing their assets, really enforcing the oil sanctions. I mean, Trump had their foreign reserves way down. Their economy was in the doldrums. They didn't have the money to arm their proxies. That's the least we should be doing. And I think the time may be coming pretty soon, given how aggressive they're getting, when we're going to have to consider doing something else. But if your policy is to try and build a partnership with them, which is what the Biden administration has been trying to do in the last 4 years, well, they just take that as weakness. And that just encourages aggression, which is what we've seen.
Absolutely. Jim Talent, always great to have you on. I hope all is well. Our best to your wife, Brenda, and we will talk soon, Jim.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, take care. I wanted to get into a little bit more of that video. I have not seen the video, but here's how it's described. It's an animated video. This is something that they created in 2022, Iran, but again, I guess it kind of made it the rounds again today. It opens on an image of an American flag waving in the breeze above Trump's house at Mar-a-Lago, his residence at Mar-a-Lago in West Palm Beach. And then it zooms in on Trump swinging a golf club as advisors, including former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, look on. So Trump lines up a shot, a remote-controlled weapon rolls into view, piloted by Iranian operators who hacked Mar-a-Lago's security system to let it onto the property. The robotic system, which is depicted to include cameras and targeting lasers, then closes in on this animated video on Trump and Pompeo, and they target them Minority Report style. Remember, I even referenced
That's
that movie
it.
Earlier today.
Minority
we couldn't
Report.
Remember the name of it, right? With red squares as the phrases gun ready and laser ready appear on the screen. That's pretty serious there. I'd probably argue that this story in and of itself, because there's more here. I guess there's a special operator in the distance in the video that is shown sending a text message reading Soleimani's murderer and the one who gave the order will pay the price, because this is in retaliation for, you know, the assassination of Soleimani, which happened in 2020. And that was something that was directed by the U.S. So then the animation ends as the words revenge is definite appear on the screen. And it's pretty, you know, I think it's pretty alarming. But I guess what I was going to say is, if you had the same story, because let's face it, I think that's undercovered right now.
Oh,
that
yeah.
whole aspect is under.
For sure.
This should be one of the biggest stories in this country right now. It really should. I think David Strom at hotair.com wrote about it and said, this is like the biggest story around right now. Nobody's really talking about it. I think they talk about it a little bit more if we had some other people that were involved here, if you know what I mean. 522, Dan O'Donnell is up at WISN in Milwaukee. I used to be up there, work with Dan, and he is a talk show host in his own right. We're getting an update on that swing state and some of the electoral shenanigans going on coming up next.
Get more at 971talk.com.